Brought up in the south of France, she wanted to be a fighter pilot, but was actually discouraged because there was only one female pilot in the army at the time. She managed several petrol stations to save money for flying lessons at the age of 21. Then she worked for free at her flight school, leveraging enough free lessons to become a commercial pilot. That's a lot of free work, but obviously it paid off in the end. Shortly after receiving her pilot's license, she competed in her very first aerobatics competition. She won several titles, including the French championship, then registered on the elite sportswoman list by the French Ministry of Sport and earned a spot on the French aerobatic team. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Next, we have Susan Bell. Susan fell in love with spinning toward the ground during emergency maneuver training courses. Hi, welcome. Shortly after, in 2017, she went on to purchase that iconic pink, white, and blue mid-wing Extra 300, and then a year later, she won the U.S. National Sportsman Aerobatic Champion title with an overall score of 84%. She works for the NASA Jet Propulsion Lab and presents Earth Science online and at events, and by the way, she's very active on Twitter, so it was fun to meet her because I follow her there. So, woo! Now I welcome to the stage Vicky Benzing. Come on out, Vicky. Vicky is an accomplished pilot, a skydiver, an aerobatic performer, and an air racer. She has more than 9,000 flight hours and more than 1,300 parachute jumps. After a career spanning nearly 40 years, she holds an ATP and commercial ratings in helicopters, seaplanes, and gliders. And if that wasn't enough, Vicky also has a PhD in chemistry from UC Berkeley. A big welcome to the stage right now for Julie Clark. Julie's dad got her interested in flying as a captain for Pacific Airlines, where he would, and I do want to ask you about that, put her in the baggage compartment and then sneak her in the cockpit from the inside. I love it. She's nodding. Yeah, it's a true story. She has 45 years of solo aerobatic flying, is a retired Northwest Airlines captain, and has almost 33,000 accident-free hours. She is rated in 66 different aircraft types. She was inducted into the Women in Aviation Pioneer Hall of Fame in 2002, among a plethora of other awards. I mean, just pages and pages of accolades. She received the prestigious Art Scholl Memorial Showmanship Award, presented to only the very best air show performers at the International Council of Air Shows. Welcome. Now we welcome to the stage Debbie Rynn Harvey. Come on out, Debbie. With the swagger. So she tells us that her aviation bug came to her from her grandfather attending many weekend fly-ins and her dad, who was a CFI. Originally scared of spins and stalls, her spin lessons were her first taste of aerobatics. She is a 9-time women's national champion, the longest flying member of the U.S. Unlimited aerobatic team. She has represented the U.S. in 13 world championships, accumulating more medals in world aerobatic contests than any other person in America. She is also an ICAST, International Council of Air Shows, Aerobatic Competency Evaluator, and FAA DPE. Debbie Rynn. And now we welcome to the stage Jesse Panzer. Come on out, Jesse. Jesse is flying here at AirVenture this year. She started flying at 18 and earned an aeronautical science degree from Embry-Riddle. She spent most of her career as a corporate pilot and in 2012 made the U.S. Advanced Aerobatic Team. She is also a race pilot in the Reno Sport class. She is a CFI in planes, rotorcraft in seaplanes, and I will tell you, she also autographed my daughter's hat, which she treasures, so just have to get that in there right now. And now we welcome to the stage Patty Wagstaff. Patty was introduced to aviation by her father, a Japan Airlines captain, and began taking controls of his DC-6 at 10 years old. She is a six-time member of the U.S. aerobatic team, the first woman to win the title of U.S. National Aerobatic Champion, and one of the few people to win it three times. She's been inducted into the National Aviation Hall of Fame. She started her own aerobatic school in Florida, which I see your stuff on Twitter all the time, too. I mean, she's training pilots to be safer, to know what to do to recover from spins and stalls. She also regularly travels to Kenya, where she gives bush, recurrency, and aerobatic training to the pilots of the Kenya Wildlife Service Air Wing. This is an incredible panel. I have the world's most imposter syndrome ever. Thank you, ladies, for being here with us today. I was speaking to a friend of mine, an aerobatic pilot. She came to it later in life. And she was telling me that to fly and perform and compete at the level that you do, it becomes more than just a job. It really becomes an identity. And it becomes a lifestyle. And I'm hoping that since we're talking about unusual attitudes, I'd like to start by asking you, and I haven't decided how we take it first, what drives you? What makes you want to succeed at this level? Patty, let's go ahead and start with you.
Is this on?
Yes, it is.
I like to fly cool airplanes. That's what drives me, is the opportunity to fly airplanes. And I have to work for a living. I have to pay for them. And so that's how I really got started doing air shows, plus I just wanted to do it. But it's the opportunity to fly. That's the bottom line.
Was there a moment when the competition aspect of it set in and you thought to yourself, I need to just school everyone around me all the time, always?
No, I never felt like I was a very competitive person. I still don't, really. I'm more competitive than I used to be since I spent so many years in aerobatic competitions. But I had to train myself to compete. And I think a lot of women in my generation, you know, we didn't have sports in school. Yep. And we weren't expected to compete in anything. I mean, my schools had a little track and field club, and that was about it. I was brought up overseas, so the schools were a little archaic. But so the women of my era, I found a lot of women had to learn how to compete in a bigger, you know, in a bigger, a broader environment. And I found that a really interesting subject that I read a lot about, and women in competition and so on and so forth. And I think that played a part in how I learned to compete, if that makes any sense. But it's something I've thought a lot about. I don't know if it's true for younger women today, because women are really encouraged, you know, Title IX, and we're all, you know, girls are encouraged to be in sports and stuff, which is really healthy because it helps you later in life.
Well, we stand on your shoulders, right? You open the door, and then that makes it easy for the rest of us, and it becomes less remarkable that you're a woman in the sport. You're just simply
right.
A pilot in the sport,
right?
Thanks to people like you.
That's a great point. When you're the only girl in the room kind of thing, or one of the very few, people make you out to be so extraordinary. And I've always wanted, and I'm sure all of us have always wanted people to see, no, you can do it too. You know, yeah, we're all extraordinary in our own way, but, and maybe we're doing something pretty unique, but it's not that we're super, you know, woman, or, you know, have superpowers and, you know, aerobatics. I put a lot of work into it. That's why I fly low and, you know, low and fly these cool airplanes. But I wasn't a natural, you know. I grew up around it, so that helped. But people also think, oh, you must have been a natural from the beginning. I'm like, no, I remember my first solo. I remember how long it took me to solo and things like that. So when you see women in these, you know, you don't see many women, say, race car drivers, right? And, you know, they're no different than you are. If you want to do that, you can do that as a woman.
Jesse, this reminds me, Patty, you know, said something that sort of germane to my daughter. When she watched you fly, she kept going back to, there's a woman up there doing it. There's a woman. She's like, I want to fly like Jesse. So I want to, do you find that you are a competitive person? What is it that drives you to want to be at your level of proficiency? Where does that come from?
Oh, gosh. It's just, there's something you can do better every single time. Every single time you fly, no matter how good it is, you can find something that I can improve on that. And it's like, it's a never-ending quest to have the perfect flight. And it brings you back every time. And I was hooked instantly. The very first time I flew aerobatics, I had no idea what it was. But I said, oh my gosh, I don't know what that is, but I have to do more of it. And it just, yeah, the more you learn, the more you want to learn. And then not to mention all the wonderful people you get to meet in this sport, in this industry. It's just self-perpetuating, I guess. It's wonderful. And then to meet young girls like your daughter and to see the light in their eyes that you add fuel to that spark that they already have, you know, it's just so satisfying. And then to bring awareness that females can do this as well. It's like, oh, you get out of the airplane and they're like, oh my gosh, that's a girl. Yeah. And it just adds that much more fun to it. You know, it's fun to inspire everybody, but then, you know, when they find out it's a girl, it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So,
Melanie, my question to you, still being on this same thread of what is it that drives you, I'm wondering what the climate is like over in France and other areas where you compete. I'm, you know, relatively comfortable with things, obviously domestically, but given your experience, are things as progressive in Europe as they are here? And what is it that drives you to want to compete at this level?
I think that exactly what Jesse was saying is that every day you can learn something new, and it's the becoming a better version of yourself each time. And would it be in the flying and the technique, but also as a person, because I've learned so many things through aerobatics, through competition, and I've improved personally a lot also on managing stress and overcoming difficult moments. Because as Patty was saying, it's aerobatics, it's about flying and competing, but it's also about financing a plane and being able to continue living your dream. So it's fighting for the competition, but also for the business. So I think there's the aerobatics flying, and there's the business aerobatics that we have faced a lot of difficult moments the last years. And particularly for myself, I was supposed to fly the show here last year, and my plane made it, but I didn't. So it's basically, it's teach so many things to me, and I think it's just a school of life. And I'm like an example that starting with no money and no studies, you can have success. And so I encourage everybody to stand up and live their dreams. That's important.
That's a great answer. When I, Vicky, was interviewing you at the Reno Air Races, as someone who is, you know, always smiling and so pleasant, and I said, it's this interesting dichotomy, and I was trying to sort of unpack it, and you were like, oh, well, I get in the plane, and I get very competitive. You're like, that's when I... So you're very driven. Well, I find it interesting because Patty's like, I don't know, I really kind of came into competitiveness. And you, on the other hand, when it comes time, not in life in general, but when the moment comes, then it's game on. Tell me about your drive to compete at this level.
I think I've been driven all my life mm-hmm. to be the best version of myself, as Patty said. And but I don't really feel competitive until I get into that moment, that situation when we're like, neck and neck and racing, and then you just can't help but push the throttle a little bit farther and put both feet on it and see if you can shove it a little farther. Yeah, and you know, competition in aerobatics, it's funny, it's not really as much competing with other people as it is becoming better yourself. Because you're working against a perfect score, and they deduct points against a perfect score, so you become trying to become more perfect at what you're doing, and then that naturally falls out. It's sort of like competition in golf, right? I mean, you try to get the best score you can. So sometimes when I would get discouraged by contests and maybe not performing as well as I did, I'd just look back over time and see how much progress I made over time. And that's really what kind of keeps you going and drives you to become better with each future contest. So, yeah.
The pursuit of personal excellence. I like that as a theme. I think once I'm done with this line of questioning, I'll come out to the audience for questions because I do want to get to all of you. But Susan, I noticed you nodding. You're sensing, you're feeling like this is something that you understand.
I'm very competitive. But it's, the funny thing is aerobatics isn't about really competing against other people. It's not like a offensive sport like football. You're just competing to fly as good as possible and hope you outrank everyone else, you know? And so it, that perfection and trying to be better every time makes you super competitive in a way, because you're always trying to beat your past performance. Like Vicky said, you're always trying to beat what you just did and do it better. And so, yeah, it's, I would say I'm very competitive against myself.
Debbie, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think they're all crazy.
Note to self, come to Debbie last on these questions. That's a great answer.
I mean, honestly, when I saw somebody doing aerobatics, I went, what would anybody want to do that for in an airplane? That's just nuts. And then I became one. You know, I think the biggest thing, there was a disagreement in my household years ago, and I said I really got into it for safety. I didn't want to hurt myself, I didn't want to hurt anybody else, and I didn't want to hurt an airplane if I ever got in an unusual attitude, whatever. A late husband said a man could do something I couldn't, and that made me mad. So. Yeah, you know, was that true? I say no. But I was just around a lot of people, and I started aerobatics, and I can say that we're all type A personalities.
Yeah.
And we strive for perfection. Mm-hmm. I mean, and perfection isn't against one another, as several of the gals have said. It's against perfection. It's against a perfect flight. And I tell any of my applicants that come to me for tests or check rides that you're not going to have a perfect flight. And the day you think you had a perfect flight, or you can't get back on the ground and correct something, or say find fault somewhere in that flight or something that you could have improved on, hang up your certificate. Quit flying if you think you had a perfect flight. I have not ever had a perfect flight in 58 years of flying.
It's an interesting, it's interesting because it's an ego check as well, right? Now, if you've lost your ability to see yourself or who you are, you don't have any business being in that cockpit.
Well, you just, I think if you think everything was great, I mean, it can be pretty close, but you should always be able to find something that you could improve on.
Julie, let's get your thoughts on this.
My thoughts, I did competition aerobatics for my for 1 year in a pit special right after I got on with the airlines, and I didn't go past intermediate. And I had an old worn out T-34 that I bought up in Alaska in 1976 that kind of sat in the weeds. I knew it was aerobatics, I'd flown them in the Navy. But my career is a little bit different as far as I didn't do the competition, I did the air show thing. But what drove me at the beginning of my life was passion. Just the passion that I just want to fly airplanes. And I, for the love of flying airplanes, and like Patty said, sure, faster, speed, you know, better, or, you know, nothing beats cubic inches, you know, in speed. But I just had the passion to fly, and I just was, and I was orphaned young, so money was always a real issue. I water skied at Marine World. I waited tables at Charlie Brown's just so I could go take another flying lesson with all the tips I made the night before, and I just lay out all the cash the next morning, you know. So it was a hard battle to make it, because all I wanted to be is not really an air show pilot. That came later. I wanted to be an airline pilot. And back in the 70s, women just had not broken that ceiling yet. So a little bit different on the, you know, I didn't have the competition thing, but my thing was passion. And nowadays, if I can just inspire young gals to carry on, the doors are wide open. Yeah. The opportunities, scholarships, all the things that were not available to me in the 60s and 70s, it's just amazing. So we just want to pass it on to these young people, because the doors are wide open.
I think for you, it's the drive to perform, to entertain, to inspire at your level, right? And it's something that everyone leans into very clearly on this panel. So we do have Margaret out in the audience. If you just have a question that you would like to have asked, please put your hand up in the air. We definitely want to give you all an opportunity to have your questions answered. Forgive me while I shield my eyes when I look around. It is a little challenging at times to see. We've got one. Hi.
Hello,
hi.
Ladies.
Go ahead. Do you have a question?
I do. Name's Natalia. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for inspiring not only women in aviation, but also men in aviation. Half of you on this panel inspired my husband, Patrick Mackley, who is an airshow pilot. So I've heard plenty of stories from all of you in different perspectives from when he was 8 years old to now becoming an airshow pilot. So thank you for that. The question I have is, as far as legacy, what legacy would you, if you were to describe or have an adjective, what legacy would you like to leave behind? I know it's pretty deep, but.
What legacy would you like to leave behind? Let's go ahead. Julie, we'll start with you, and I'll work my way down the line. Julie, what legacy do you want to leave
behind? Legacy I'd like to leave behind is inspiration. If I can just, I flew air shows for 41 years. My first air show was 1978, and I retired in 2019. And I'd like to know that I inspired young girls in the air show business, you know, entertainment, and also the doors of the flight decks that are now wide open because I was one of the first 21 women hired as an airline pilot back in the 70s. So I'd like my legacy to be that I was able to inspire young people, because we all have, well, I'd say gray hair, but thank God for color. But we've got to get rid of all those gray-haired ladies. We got to get these young people. So inspiring people like the gal that just asked the question, it's so important to pass the torch. It's just something I feel I want to have a legacy for.
She, Natalia, spends a lot of time in on social media. She has a podcast, The Wonder Woman of Aviation, really getting out there trying to bridge a couple of worlds coming together. So it's really nice to see her in the audience. Jesse, what would you like your legacy to be?
Well, Patty whispered to me, that's a really big question, and it really is.
And coming to you next, Patty.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's in the same vein, of course, as Julie, and it's just to inspire people, right? To let everyone know, women, men, young children, anyone, that you can do anything that you put your mind to. Whether it's flying or art or music or whatever lights your fire, go out and do it. You can do it. You will find so many wonderful people to help you along the way if you do what's really in your heart. And that's really what lights my fire, you know, to see what joy and inspiration that I get to bring to other people through this method. It's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Patty, your thoughts?
I always knew inside, you know, that I had this ability, that I was going to do something. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if I was going to be a pilot or anything. But I think it's important for people to see that and know that it's not like we're not all given a lot, you know. And you have to make it happen for yourself. But you do have that ability, even if other people tell you that you don't. So follow the path that makes you feel happy and that you know that you want to go with. And it can take a long time, but I think that's probably my legacy.
It reminds me of that quote, be kind because you never know what someone else is going through. It's be kind, you never know where someone else has come
yeah.
from, right? That's definitely valid. Melanie, your thoughts. What legacy do you want to leave behind?
Basically, always about inspiring, and I would say that something called the power of attraction is very strong. And I don't know if it's the power of attraction, but it's that when you really want something and you really focused on your dream and you push for it and you are determined, you work, some kind of magic happens. And I don't know how to explain it. It can be one day, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years. It takes time sometimes. But it's just like all the great people and the great coincidences will be there on your way, and I don't know, the things will collide so that it will build up, but sometimes you will be in the darkness, you won't believe in it, and you'll feel like giving up. And I think we've all been probably through that in our career, like but you still go on and you don't know why, you just go on and you go on and you go on and you work and you work, and in the end, I don't know, the light just appears. So I would like to leave that, yeah, believe in your dreams, work hard, and never give up, because maybe sometimes you're just there, and if you give up, it's just you just need to open one door. And I often say something is that if the doors are closed, just go through the windows. So That's a good technique, and I've done it several times.
There's a great meme of a cockatoo and a dog carrier being transported, and the meme is, when someone tells me I can't do something, and the bird has demolished half of the carrier to get to the other side. So when you say that, it makes me laugh.
Exactly.
Yeah. Susan, what do you want your legacy to be?
It's kind of along the lines of what everyone's saying, but you can do this. I didn't learn to fly until I was in my 30s. I had no exposure to aviation when I was young. And so I work for NASA. I wanted to be an astronaut. I'm not in the right age group to be an astronaut right now. But I had taken a trip to see NASA Dryden, it's now NASA Armstrong at Edwards Air Force Base, and met the NASA pilots, the test pilots, and said, I can be a pilot. I may not be able to be an astronaut right now, but I can be a pilot. And I went and got my private pilot's license in 4 months. And it's kind of echoing what's being said. If you want to do something, just start doing it, you know, and see where it takes you.
What about you, Vicky? What do you want your legacy to be?
Well, I know I'm not going to change the world with my flying, but maybe I could change one person's life or have an influence on one person. And honestly, I didn't realize how important it was to have role models and to be a role model until I started doing air show flying and meeting the young women who later came back and said, hey, you know, I went to college and studied to be a pilot and studied aeronautics or aeronautical engineering or something because I met you at an air show. And that's amazing to me. And I think that's probably why all of us do this is because it does reach some people. And I think all of us, everyone in the audience as well, you probably don't realize how much of a role model you are to the people around you, and especially to the young people around you. And it really took me aback to realize how much of a role model I was. So,
I think when you have an opportunity to realize that, you know, especially if you're new to the industry or if you're accomplished and tenured, that people are there because you were there and in the space is why it is so important to continue to have air shows and have aerobatic competitions and put, you know, women as... we were talking about earlier with the Boeing executive who spoke, women being in the right people in the right place at the right time and helping to sort of open doors in that capacity. Debbie, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, that's, some people say different things, but honestly, I have been able, and we've all worked hard at what we've done. And I've had the opportunity to do so much in aviation and such a large variety of job titles or I fly every day or try to. But I think the biggest thing is, and I've been rewarded and I've been successful, but the biggest thing I think I feel like we're all passionate about aviation, but I want to be known for how much I returned to others to make them passionate about aviation. Or the way I was raised is that you can do anything your brothers do and you can do it better. So that's the way I was raised. I raced quarter midgets when I was preteens. I did demolition derby cars. I did everything, and I started flying at 13. So it's just, and it wasn't to win. It was to really learn more and perfect my skills because it isn't, I mean, winning's great, but it's still against perfection. But my legacy is how many people have I inspired or changed their lives because of the passion that I pass on and the hope that they can go wherever they want to go. And so what I've returned to aviation and the success that they have, even if it's a small percentage of the success and great times I've had, they'll have a great life.
Yeah. Very good. I would love to entertain questions from folks out in the audience. Margaret over there will keep her eyes. If you do have a question, just put your hand up. There is one in the back there, so we'll come to you next, sir. Can you put your hand up till I think she's found you? But before we get to you, though, really, I do want to ask this question, and it's building on something that Patty talked about. Patty talked about challenges, really significant challenges to success. And I'm curious if there are challenges that you are comfortable sharing that were maybe one of your biggest obstacles to overcome. And Patty, on this, you get a pass because you did already share with us that it was one of the biggest things that you have overcome. Melanie, can I start with you? Tell me about the biggest challenge or adversity that you faced.
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenge I faced was being told that aviation was not for me because I wasn't good in maths and physics. And I think it's the main concept of people is that you need to be good at maths to fly. And it's not true, really. So, but of course, now things have changed. We have access to internet and it's much more easier to get the information. But that was the main challenge that made me lose many years initially to start flying. And I think it's also the fact that you need to be very rich to be a pilot. It can take a lot of time, as we've said already, but it's just a matter of giving what I did for free. We say it's working for free, but at the same time, while I was working for free, I was able to fly the planes, to bring them to the maintenance center, so I could build up my flight hours. And before I realized I was passionate and I thought everybody was the same, but I realized that probably I was more passionate than the others. So I think that if you really are passionate and you give a lot of your time and you actually go and see people like all these girls who are passionate, they will help you. Because honestly, there aren't that many people who ask you help, and it's just... before you ask, the answer is always no, as we say. So it's just tell people that you need help, and we're all happy to help, I think. And mainly, maybe it's very European also. I think maybe in USA people ask a bit more, but it's just don't be shy to ask some help to people and ask them how they did it and how they reached success. And I think mainly that's how I had success and went through these challenges. Money was one of them, but finally when people knew I was so passionate and wanted to become a pilot, they opened the doors and they helped me.
I'm going to come down the line for this one, so Susan, you're up next.
Well, I'm dealing with a pretty big challenge. I tore my ACL and meniscus last year flying in my plane. Yes, it's possible. I slipped on a rudder pedal during a snap, and so I actually have had to sit out competition now for over a year, I was planning to go out for the advanced team this year, but I'm a perfectionist that I am not physically able to do that right now. And so it's actually been really hard for me to sit on the sidelines when I really want to get back up in the air and compete. So, we can have all kinds of struggles, and I managed to injure myself.
So, on a snap.
On a snap roll, yes.
Okay. I'm working through the physics of that in my head. Vicki, to you, you're one of your biggest challenges.
So my biggest challenge was in my life is an internal challenge. I'm very shy and introverted, so doing something like this is terrifying.
You're crushing it.
Yeah, and so getting in an airplane and being by yourself and going out and flying, that's all easy, but interacting with people and when I was younger, believing in myself and learning to believe in myself, that's a big challenge to overcome. And I think as I set goals for myself and achieve goals and I became more self-confident and believed in myself, And flying was a big part of that. Like learning to fly, that made my self-confidence soar. And that's why I think that's such a great thing for young people to learn to fly. But I think that's probably been the biggest challenge in my life is the internal challenge of believing in myself and getting out of my comfort zone and doing the things that make me grow. So
that's a great answer. Julie?
By far, my biggest challenge was just getting hired with the airlines, and I even wrote a book about it. Nothing stood in her way, but just trying to get hired with the airlines in the 70s, and I was definitely qualified by this time, had over 3,800 hours, two jet type ratings, but things that held me back was I had long hair, so I cut the hair. There wasn't a door in the men's room, so I offered to buy the door in the men's room and even install it on my final interview, because nobody wanted to break that ceiling and hire the first woman, and it was brutal. And so that was my most, the challenging thing in my whole aviation career. I don't care if I restored my own T-34 and got in the air show business, dealt with a lot of sponsors, that was all challenging, but the hardest part was getting over that hump of just give me a chance. And then you get a chance finally, and it's, well, how'd the girl do? I never had a name, I was always the girl, and you always had to prove yourself, and you always said, well, let's see what she's made of. You know, and that was
like,
my challenge,
this.
And I spent 30 years flying as the airline. It was my last 20 years as a captain, retired on the Airbus. But at the beginning, it was hell, just getting the interview and getting hired. And then when I finally got hired, I got two telegrams. That dates myself. I was hired with Western and Hughes Air West the same day, got a telegram. Oh, I'll come be a flight officer. But that's my biggest challenge, was just getting over the hump and just give me a chance. And they just didn't want to do that.
Debbie, what about for you?
Biggest challenge in life is getting straight A's.
Wow. Given the discussion of math.
I never got them. I was too diversified. I liked too many things. So I didn't get into medical school. I was a biology major. I interned in medical technology. I wanted to go into research. I wanted to cure leukemia. I don't know why, but that's what I wanted. Uh-huh. So I'd flown. It was a family hobby. It had been a family hobby, And so after I interned, and I'm in hospital environment every day and not making a whole lot of money, and I thought, I like my own schedule. I'll just go fly. So I flight instructed for a while. I moved to Houston, and as Julie said, I'd go try and find, I flew freight for about 6 months. The chief pilot was mattered and hornered at the owner for hiring me. What are you hiring a woman for? I tried to get a corporate job after they went bankrupt, and I repoed airplanes. I did all kinds of stuff, but I tried to get a corporate job. We could have you serve coffee and drinks. And I said, hey, I'll serve anything you want as long as I can sit in the right seat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I never did get to fly for any of them. And it was the same thing, you know, I was hired by United in 1978, they furloughed everybody, and I was included in that. I started a flight school, and then started flying aerobatics and all the other stuff that I do. And in 1989, then I tried to get my stepdaughter a job with the airlines, because she'd been in a commuter ranks, and but for myself, and I called an aerobatic buddy, hey, hire her, she's really good. Oh, all kinds of excuses. The end of the conversation was, I got it, you're not hiring women yet, and hung up the phone. It was 1989, and I was the 11th female there at Southwest Airlines. So I think getting hired, breaking the barrier that, you know, women were no different. I just fly airplanes. I'd flown airplanes for a long time. And Julie talked about, 3,500 hours when they hired you, or 3,900?
3,800 hours.
Okay. I had a whole lot more than any of them there. And by the time I finally got hired. But it was, that was a challenge. The straight A's first. And then the challenge.
But I can still see it, though, on the Netflix special. You know, Debbie Rynn Harvey, repo woman. Like, when you do the jobs you need to do.
Jesse, it was a fun job.
Oh, I can only imagine.
In fact, the FAA was called on one of them, and they said it was a de Havilland Heron, and I was taking it out of Hobby Airport in Houston to take it so it could be made non-flyable for a few days. And I went to get the owners who had never been paid for the airplane and delivered them to the airplane, but the guy called the FAA and said, hey, Debbie's in this Heron, and she's started it up, and she's taxiing out, and it's our airplane. And the FAA guy knew me, and he said, is she smiling? I wanted to say, I always smile. But the guy said, what's that got to do with it? He said, oh, about as much as you've told me. She's certified in the airplane. I can't stop her from flying it.
That's a great story. Oh. Jesse, what is a challenge for you? What was some of the biggest challenge you've overcome?
Yeah, well, so mine was that I lost my dad in an airplane accident when I was 7 years old. He was a corporate pilot, and so I was afraid to fly for quite a few years after that. But everybody in my family always told me how much he loved to fly, and I was always so fascinated with what it was he loved so much about this flying thing. And we also lived under the traffic pattern in Colorado Springs, so I would watch the airplanes go over, and so and just it I had to it's been in stages, right? The first one was the biggest probably, but then to get over the fear of flying. And so that was the watching the airplanes overhead at home in Colorado Springs was the first, and I'd just see the type of airplane he flew, and I was like, how does that work, and what did he love so much about it? And so there was a shift, right, and the curiosity took over the fear, and I led it, which was wonderful. And then later on, so then I decided to go to college, and I had never taken a flight lesson before. I got enrolled at Embry-Riddle in Prescott, Arizona, and I was like, Mom moved me down there, and then she leaves, and I was like, well, I hope I like it. And sure enough, my very first flight hooked, and I just wanted to know everything there was to know about flying as soon as possible. So that was the first wave of getting over some fear, and I never really got over it. I just worked with it and tempered it enough and used it to help me learn more and be the safest pilot that I could be and learn more, you know, and learn from everybody that I could so I wouldn't make mistakes or make fewer mistakes going forward. And then the next like stage of getting over my fear was when I learned to fly aerobatics, because not only am I learning to fly, I'm learning to fly aerobatics now, and I'm sure my mom probably went through these stages with me in her own, but she was always so supportive, which was really incredible of her, and I'm very grateful still. And so that really, losing my dad so early in this thing that I now love so much was a huge hurdle, and it's still ever present, and but I try to use it to my benefit to help me be better all the time.
Before we come out to the gentleman for a question and some final thoughts from you, Patty, I do want to make sure that I give you an opportunity. Do you feel like you did address the question that you was that the answer that you would have given had I asked it? Your biggest challenge?
Oh, it's nice of you to ask. You know, I'm a lot like Vicky, and the hardest thing about being a performer for me in the beginning, especially, was my innate shyness and lack of confidence. And I remember being at this air show, and I was just thinking about it when Vicky was talking, being at this air show, and I think it was in Las Cruces, and they said, well, you have to get up on the stage now and talk to everybody. We're at a bank, and these are your sponsors. And I said, there's no way I'm doing that. You know, this is terrifying. They said, and this, I remember the guy really well. He was a really nice guy, and pulled me over, show director, him and his wife, and said, listen, you know, you want to be an air show pilot, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they go, you want to make money doing this? Yeah. You got to do it. That's just the game. I'm like, oh, okay. And he like really gave me a reality check, you know? So I realized I had to start doing it. It's still hard.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it well up here on this stage, so we appreciate it. Let's come out here to the question from the audience member.
Hello. I just have a flying question. I'm curious as to Do you have a personal favorite aerobatic maneuver? And if you do, can you explain why?
Ooh, I love that question. That's actually a great way for this panel to wind down as we get ready for the fireworks. A favorite aerobatic maneuver, not the snap roll. That one's right out, Susan. No, thank you. We're not doing that one anymore.
It actually, what took out my knee is actually, I love three-quarter snaps on down lines. Totally my favorite thing to do.
Why? Why is it your favorite?
I don't know. They feel really nice, and I don't. So if you don't know what a snap roll is, it's basically an accelerated spin on a line. That's the easiest way to do it. You basically pitch up the nose, stall one wing, and the plane whips around. But something about doing it on a down line in a three-quarter, you're kind of turning from one axis to the other. I don't know. I just really love flying those.
That's awesome. Melanie, what about you? Your favorite maneuver and why?
I don't think I have a particular favorite one, but I like all of them. I just like flying. No, I like freestyle a lot, which is kind of throwing the plane in all directions. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing, but it's cool. So I don't know if there's a name for that, but just putting the controls in all directions, taking care of my knees at the same time. It's always funny. So yeah, just inventing things. And sometimes when I fly precision aerobatics, I invent things also. The judges, they don't appreciate. they put zero, but but yeah, I just like creating and having fun.
That's a great answer. Vicky, what about you?
I like loops. And they're very simple maneuver that's very easy to do, but very hard to make them perfect. And in the Stearman in particular, fly over the top of a loop, you can look down and see the ground, and it's just, I think they're beautiful figures. So any of the looping figures, but loops in particular.
What about for you, Julie?
I fly a very low energy, heavy airplane, so everything for me is energy management, everything. And I remember when Bob Hoover came out, he goes, "You play the bottom just like I taught you." That's how he talked. But anyway, so my favorite maneuver in the T-34 is a hammerhead, yeah, either the vertical roll up or the vertical roll down. But the main thing is it brings me back down, because every maneuver I do has to set me up for the next maneuver, and that maneuver sets me up for the next maneuver. So I don't have this luxury of powering through. Everything for me is airspeed.
Mm, that's a great answer. Debbie, what about you? Favorite maneuver and why?
I think since I started flying the cap, it loves to go end over end. And the pivot point is the center of the wing, so the nose goes over the tail and the tail. And the straighter you can keep it, the better it is. And if you've really hit it right, it accelerates on the upline, and you know that you're in for a ride. So it's really a fun maneuver.
That's great.
But not all airplanes will do it.
No. Julie will tell us her airplane won't do that.
Yeah. No, for sure. Right. If she wants it to be in one piece when she gets on the ground.
Fair enough. If she, right.
I've inverted fuel at oil either. I don't think anyone else can say that except for me.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. What about you, Jesse?
Well, I'm with Melanie. I love them all. I know we all love them all. They're all so wonderful. The gyroscopics are super great. But like I say in my air show, my favorite is the torque roll. I tell you what, I just have a great time driving it up on that line and then backing it up. I describe it to people as trying to balance on a bowling ball on your head and trying to keep it balanced and back it up a good ways. And it's just so satisfying when you get a good one. Really fun.
What about you, Patty?
I really like the precision of maneuvers, but I really like rolling turns, where you're turning and rolling at the same time, and there's so many different ways to do them. You can do them slow or fast or inside or outside. You can stop on them, and they're really fun, and there's sort of endless combinations. So.
I do, as we conclude this panel, want to let everyone here know that one of the first acts to fly this evening will be an F-35 jet, and it will be flown by a woman. So as you sit here and absorb the wisdom and the words of these women on the panel and hopefully feel inspired to be your best selves and work hard and overcome adversity and challenges and all of those things, also get out there and enjoy the fireworks and the night show and watch Bayo, is her call sign, rage around the airspace. And just know there really isn't anything we can do thanks to the women who pioneered the space for us, opened the doors, broke down the ceiling, got the job at the airlines after trying over and over again. So for you ladies, we salute and applaud you. Thank you so much, everyone, for attending the panel tonight. Unusual Attitudes, the Women Legends of Aerobatics. A standing ovation. Thank you, everyone. Ladies, thank you.